far as Bethel. But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will never leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also stood and went at some distance and stood away from them. And they were both standing, as they were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and he rolled it up and he struck the water. And the water was parted to one side and then to the other, till the two of them could go on over to dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it will not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood on the banks of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, and he said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to one side and then to the other. And Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed down to him before him. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Ephesians 4, beginning in the first verse. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But peace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, 'When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men.' In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of this faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Christ.
Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I like getting gifts. Let me clarify that slightly. I like getting gifts that I like. Some people, when they receive gifts, say things like, "Oh, you shouldn't have, you didn't have to." I don't think that. Awesome, a present. It doesn't even have to be new or novel for me. My very creative family gets me basically the same three gifts every Christmas. Somebody gives me dark roast coffee, somebody gives me chocolate, and if I'm lucky, I get a book or a gift card to get a book that I like. These are subtle hints, by the way, just saying. I like receiving gifts. Well, our passage from Ephesians today tells us that God gives us gifts. Now, beyond the fact that French roast coffee and good books are themselves gifts from God, but when we know that God gives us gifts, we should want them and want to use them rightly. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, which if you'd like to follow along in the black pew Bibles in the seats in front of you, it's page 977. Ephesians chapter 4, read today, page 977. We're going to look together at three aspects of the gifts that God gives to us as highlighted in this passage. Three things that we see here about God's gifts to us in Jesus. First, God gives gifts to all Christians. God gives gifts to all Christians. Look at verse 7. "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, given to each and every one of us who are in Christ, given to all who trust in Jesus." Now, there are other places in the Bible where there is teaching on specific kinds of gifts that God gives, often called spiritual gifts. But here, there isn't any mention of the kinds of gifts, but the emphasis is on the unity and inclusivity in the fact that all are included as recipients of God's gifts. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your past looks like. When you turn to Jesus in faith and are filled with his Holy Spirit, we are all given gifts for his mission and ministry. All Christians, all who are in Christ, receive these gifts from God. No one is excluded. Growing up, whenever my older brother, I'm the younger of two boys, whenever my older brother was better at something than I was, which if I'm honest was a lot, anytime he was better at something, faster or stronger or smarter or whatever, my snarky remark to him was simply, well, he got first pick in the gene pool. That explains it. It's not my fault. But that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. No one, even younger brothers, no one is excluded from being given gifts by God for his work in the world. Now, the first three chapters of Ephesians, which we didn't read today, but what leads up to what was read today, focuses on this incredible truth that all divisions within the church are just obliterated in Christ. No one is excluded from full status in the church when they trust in Jesus. At the time that this book was written, the church had both Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles. Those were the two big groups of people. Two groups with different backgrounds, and together, by faith in Christ, are brought together into the same church, and they didn't know what to do with each other. And there was a sense that neither group really wanted the other, and certainly didn't think that the other group had anything to offer. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has destroyed the barrier between Jews and Gentiles who turned to him in faith. The dividing wall between people in God's church is annihilated, is destroyed, and now all people are offered his salvation through what Jesus has done for us, which we receive in faith, regardless of what family we were born into, regardless of race, regardless of past mistakes. All people can be joined into the one family of God through the one Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the one Holy Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, as it says in verse 5. Now you may remember from last week, those that were here, we had our guest preacher. He mentioned a man in his previous church who knew that he had a lot of problems and always sat up on the left side of the church because he always thought of himself as one of the goats. Jesus once told a parable about people being gathered at the end of time and separated, the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are gathered on the right and the goats on the left, and the sheep are welcomed into God's kingdom and the goats are not. And this man always thought of himself as a goat, unworthy and unwelcomed. But nothing could be farther from the truth. In Christ, all are brought in. All who turn to him in faith, all are welcomed in and are given the opportunity to receive Jesus' gift in faith. And so no divisions are allowed in the church. In Christ, all divisions are annihilated. In Christ, rich and poor, black and white, male and female, Iraqi and American, all are brought together in one church in Christ when we turn to him in faith. All are equal in brokenness, equal in dignity, equally in need of a Savior, and equal transformation is offered to us in Christ. All are called to turn away from sin and trust in Jesus, and then also receive his gifts for ministry. In Christ, all are given gifts by God for his work, without any difference in value or in dignity. All who turn to Jesus in faith are included. So first, God gives gifts to all Christians. Second, God gives church leaders as a gift. Verse 11, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. He gave those people to the church. I said a moment ago that this passage doesn't mention any specific gifts. Well, that's not quite accurate. It doesn't mention any of what we typically call spiritual gifts, these God-given abilities and talents that are designed by God through his Spirit to be used for his kingdom. It doesn't mention any of those specifically, but it does mention some specific gifts. It says that church leaders are a gift of God to the church. Gifts given by God for his people. God gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers as gifts to the church. The people are the gifts. This past Halloween, as my family was trick-or-treating in our neighborhood, I saw a young brother and sister run ahead of their parents and run up to a house, a couple houses ahead of them. The owners of the house were away, and so they had left out a large bowl of candy out on the front porch. So the two kids run up to help themselves from this bowl of candy. And as they got there, I was close enough to hear the young boy let out a small whimper, showing his obvious disapproval of the candy selection in this bowl. And his older sister, who was probably about 6 years old, said to him with an air of sophistication, clearly quoting their mother, "You get what you get and you don't complain." But it's amazing how often the advice we give to children is the advice we need ourselves. We receive the gifts that God sees fit to provide for us. And as with all of his gifts, we need to learn to be thankful. Are you thankful for your church leadership? Not do you agree with everything or think everything we do is right, that's not what this means at all, but are you thankful for those that God has given to his church as a gift? Not just me, and I'm not looking for a compliment, that's not what I'm talking about, but have you learned to be thankful to God for those that he has seen fit to give you as leaders? It will do all of us a great deal of spiritual good to learn to specifically thank God for the church leaders that he has placed over us, even when, and especially when, we get frustrated. I do not always love and appreciate what my leaders do. I certainly don't always agree, but it is good for me and very biblical for me to say out loud and pray, "God, thank you for this leader and for that leader." And as we are thankful to God, we learn to be thankful for what he has done. And one of the things that he has seen fit to do for us is give church leaders to the church as his gift. Do we receive the leaders of the church in the congregation? Sure, but also beyond. Do we receive the leaders of the church that God has seen fit to give? Do we receive them with thankful hearts as a gift to us? God gives gifts to all Christians, and he gives specifically leaders of the church as gifts to his people. Third, God gives you as a gift. Look at verse 12. It says that God gives church leaders to equip the saints, that's all of us, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You see, you are a gift that Jesus wants to use for ministry to build up his church. God, in his orchestration of the church, gives certain people with specific roles in order to equip the rest of the church for ministry, to be gifts themselves to the church. You are a gift of God to the church. How you are a gift to the church and what role you'll have is different, but you are a God-given gift to the church. Each one of us here, whether we're 8 years old or 80 years old, is a gift and is called to be a gift to the church. Now, I remember once speaking with someone who was in a ministry role in a church, not anyone here, who said that because I wasn't leading a specific ministry, it meant that I didn't care about it. And I remember saying to that person, you know, actually, I care so much about it that I've worked with you to do it. You have the energy and the passion and the skill for it, and I care so much about it that I've worked with you to raise you up to do it because you're better at it than I am. I thought that was a pretty good answer. In this case, this person didn't buy it, but such is life. We're all misunderstood sometimes. But God's message here in Ephesians 4 is that the church leaders are a gift for equipping the rest to serve in ministry, so that we can all then be gifts to the church and to the world together. We can all join in God's work in the world and serve him in his ministry. Each and every one of us is called to then be that gift to the church and to the world. This passage doesn't emphasize specific spiritual gifts, so we'll worry about that another day, but instead focuses and encourages us on being a gift to the church and receiving others as a gift from God. Being a gift and receiving others as a God-given gift. And I think that changes the way we see ourselves. Realizing that each one of us is to be a gift to the others. That changes the way we may view our preferences. If I'm a gift to other people, then my personal preferences end up taking a bit of a back seat. It helps me frame my own actions. Am I being a gift to others? It also will change the way we see other people. When we're constantly reminded that this person in front of me is part of God's gift to me and to the rest of us, that will reframe how I see and understand and think of that person. The reality is that God gives you as a gift to his church. And do you see where all of this is heading? Look at verse 13. It's heading towards until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, towards maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro, but rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, so that we are all built up in love. God's gift is that this is how he brings us to maturity, to unity, to union with him, to love. This is God's plan for how we grow and mature and deepen our relationship with him, by giving us gifts for ministry, by giving us certain leaders as a gift to us to then equip all of us to be gifts ourselves. You know, God could just instantly make us complete and mature if he wanted to, but that would be so boring. He orders the world and the church so that we have a job to do. We all have a role to play. We all have the chance to join with him in his work in the world, to be a gift to the church and to receive others as a gift themselves. This is God's way of bringing us to maturity in Christ. In Jesus, we receive gifts from God. And ultimately, that gift is salvation, union with God, freedom over the power of sin and death through the death and resurrection of Jesus, without which we would be lost. And as his redeemed and saved and loved people, we are then given gifts, empowered for his mission, empowered by his Holy Spirit for the work that he has given us to do. We've all been given gifts by God for his work. He has specifically given church leaders as a gift to the church, and he has given each and every one of us gifts and talents and skills so that we also can be a gift to the church. So may we receive these gifts that God has so graciously given to us, and may we continually learn to be a gift to the rest of the church and to the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.